Never try to be molded into somebody that you're not or doesn't seem authentic to you.
Hello and welcome to episode 134 of the Smart Agents Podcast. As always, my name is Michael Walter and I'll be your host. In today's episode, we are joined by Austin, Texas-based agent Kat Ashley. In just her third year in real estate, Kat closed more than eight figures in sales, but the success was not immediate. You see, after leaving her longtime corporate career, Kat brought in less than $10,000 in commissions in her first year, and it was after realizing that she needed to break the mold and be herself that her real estate career took off. Throughout our conversation, Kat shares her tips for new agents trying to grow their own businesses, as well as talk about how her real estate career really exploded once she tapped into the new home construction niche in her market. Now, before we get on to today's featured interview, make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents Podcast. You can find the show on all major podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Also, if you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or a tip to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. We're always on the lookout for new stories to share. All right, let's get on to the day's featured interview with Kat Ashley. I had a great time speaking with her, and I hope you enjoy our conversation. The way I like to start everything out is if you could just introduce yourself to us a little bit, who you are and where you're at in the country.
Yeah, so my name is Kat Ashley. I am based outside of Austin, Texas. And I've been in real estate just about 4 years now. Prior to real estate, I had left a corporate environment of about probably 15 years. And so it was certainly a scary jump, especially when you're getting that monthly income, you know, that you can depend upon. And then all of a sudden you start this new career and you're in charge of your own income, right? And paying yourself. And so it was a scary adventure in the first year, but I'm happy to say I can be here having this conversation with you because things got much, much better.
Right. So going back to before, you know, making that decision to jump in, what was it that, you know, sparked your interest in real estate and made you want to make that career change?
You know, ironically, when I came out of high school, you know, everyone asks, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? And if you're going to go to off on that college adventure, you have to choose a degree. And for me, I'm like, I don't know how I could choose a degree. But the only thing I did know was that I was just a fan of all of the HGTV shows that were around at that time, you know, educational around housing and stuff like that. And so I remember telling my parents, I had just recently graduated. I was like, I don't know that I want to go to college, but I do know I want to get into real estate because I had learned, right? You don't need a degree to get into this field, but you do need to pass the test and all that fun stuff. And of course, my parents, they had the traditional corporate careers, which, you know, they're like, you need to follow these steps. And then later in life, if you decide that you want to venture off and do your own thing in real estate, you can do that. But at least kind of understand the basics of what business is, right? And how it operates. And so I did end up going off to college and got a degree in communication. So it was like nice and broad.
Right.
and then after that, I kind of just started my corporate career, the traditional way, let's call it. So.
Right. So when you got into real estate, was it a clean break and right into it? Or did you kind of give yourself that time that I know a lot of people will kind of start getting together, you know, kind of part-time it until they're ready to make that jump?
No, I just kind of went all in. But it was scary, like I had mentioned before, because here you are making really good money. And then it's like, you don't know what to expect, right? So to give you a little bit of background, I grew up outside of Chicago in the suburbs and went to school in Wisconsin. I later moved on during probably like after about 8 years in corporate, I moved on to Nashville and then relocated to Austin a couple of years later. And so given that whole time frame and when I decided to actually jump into the real estate world, it was, I didn't know many people at all, right? And they talk about like the sphere of influence and, you know, get on those phones, call everybody. And I'm thinking like, I don't know who I'm going to call because all the people that I know are out of state. Nobody lives in Texas. This was kind of just like a blind jump almost, right? I'm like, I'm going to put this into God's hands and let's just see where this goes. So it was pretty scary at first, but, you know, doing open houses and stuff like that, then you start to meet more and more people and build up, you know, friendships over time and stuff like that. So that certainly helped.
Right. So yeah, I want to ask you about how that, you know, how that first year went for you and really just trying to get your name out there, because like you said, you didn't know anybody.
Right. Yeah. So that was probably one of the scariest parts. But you know, I was kind of at that time, Yelp was just, seeming to surface, right? I was hearing more and more about this Yelp platform and stuff like that. And so, while I hadn't sold any houses at that point in time yet, or any properties, I decided to go into Yelp and I asked some people who I'd worked with in my previous corporate life, hey, can you just like talk about, you know, my skill set or my communication efforts, that sort of stuff. So more of like the soft skills, give me a review. And so that's like, that's a good point, I guess. You know, especially when you're just starting and you don't have any transactions under your belt, asking for those soft skill reviews is not a bad thing, because those skills will certainly transfer over into the real estate world. And so, and that's just something, you know, internally I was struggling with. I was like, oh my gosh, do I ask people? I mean, it's not in the real estate world, right? But they know how I operate. They know who Kat is. They know, you know, my communication style. And so that's ultimately how I got my first transaction, was through Yelp. Wow. Yeah. And so the ironic part about this, so the individual who had contacted me, I'm still very much in contact with him. He lives out of state, but he happened to be an investor. And I remember him telling me, he's like, well, Kat, you know, I'm interviewing, you know, four or five other agents. And the dollar value that you gave for my property is actually higher than these others. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you hear these horror stories, right? And they're like, agents will just tell you this high number and then later tell you to reduce it. But I was like, no, you know what? I'm like confident about this number, because the one thing I had over these other agents, because I had, you know, probed a little bit, who are these other agents? Where are they from? Blah, blah, blah. And, he had said, you know, other areas, Lakeway and other surrounding areas, but nobody was from this one town that he was trying to sell his properties in. I'm not from there, but I happened to live there at that time. And so I was so confident in that number. And he's like, well, I'm going to give this to you. And he goes, if you can sell this first one, then I'll give you the other five properties to sell. Within 30 days, I had a successful closing and we were on our way. The funny thing about that story was that these numbers were not big. I mean, my first transaction was $15,000. And that's like, we're not talking commission. We're talking like, that was the overall value. That was just a lot. I was selling unimproved property just to get my feet wet in the real estate game, because there's so many, I think, in my opinion, there's so many gaps really in, you know, when a new agent comes on board, what does that look like from the title company to like the lender and the seller or the buyer, and who communicates with all of them? How do we know when somebody's picking up, you know, carrying the baton to the next part of the process, right? And so for me, I was like, well, if I'm going to learn this process, it's going to be with like these lots, right? Where I'm not, I mean, not that it's not important. Every transaction is important no matter what the dollar value is. But I think that really helped me gain that confidence.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I really like that idea, you know, to where it, you know, it's not somebody's life savings in their first home that they're purchasing or something like that. That's a lot of pressure for a new agent, you know, but to be able to kind of get your processes down with these lot and land deals, I think is really a good way to go about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and like I said, he's forever been a client. I mean, here we are 4 years later, and I just had another discussion with him about a month ago. So you just never know, right? It's and I think that also speaks to, you know, how important relationships are, right?
Right.
Throughout the entire process. So yeah. So that was quite the scary but exciting adventure of how I got my first transaction.
Right. And I want to ask you, because it's something interesting. You were talking about the Yelp, and I really think, you know, I really like the idea of the character reviews for those new agents, because that's something we hear all the time is how am I supposed to present myself as a trustworthy agent if I don't have any deals behind me? But, you know, everybody has, especially if you come from a sales background, all those skills are so transferable. And just those character reviews, I really think go a long way in, you know, building up your reputation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know what had helped me just because I was coming from a different corporate background, LinkedIn. So I would refer a lot of people to my LinkedIn pages, just because I already had reviews right there. But then, as we know, it's become so imperative for every agent, no matter what the tenure looks like, that, you know, we have Google reviews, and now we have, of course, Yelp, and then we have, you know, Realtor.com and Zillow.com. It's like we have so many different platforms, and it's like, well, which one bodes well or the most with potential buyers or sellers? And it's kind of a crapshoot in my opinion, but I think a lot of agents would probably tell you more the Google route. But having at least a couple reviews across every different platform, I think is a pretty solid idea.
Right, absolutely. So going on from this first year in the $15,000 transaction, how did things kind of start progressing for you from there?
Yeah, so you know, the funny thing about that is that so we know I got that first transaction, and then he's like, "Kat, I'm going to give you the rest of my properties." And they were all of them were under 30,000 each, okay? And I remember one of my transactions, it was another new agent. And you know if it's a new agent because there's the license numbers, and she happened to have like a license number around mine. And so anyways, we started chatting and stuff, and we both got another deal done. And she was a lovely person, super helpful. Like, she wanted to get the deal done too, right? She was kind of along the same path I was. We're just trying to learn this and then hopefully explode later, right? Like every agent probably does. But yeah, and so what had happened is we ended up getting some of these additional lots under contract with each other. And even to this day, we are really good friends. And so she moved to a different broker at that point in time. And, you know, for me, I was kind of struggling. I was struggling with my broker. It's not because it was a bad broker, but my style and my creativity needs to come out within my business and or my brand, right? And so when I was at the first broker that I had signed on with or hung my license with, they were known for training. And one of the things I found was that I felt like I was being molded into somebody that I truly wasn't, right? And so when I say that, scripting became a thing. Scripting was very much, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but for me, my authenticity does not come out if I'm like so focused on this like script and objection handling and stuff like that. So, got all of those lots under contract, and I knew I was struggling internally with this idea of how come I see all these top producers, right? And they're getting like, you know, those $1 million deals and stuff like that, or whatever their numbers were for that month. And I'm like down here trying to figure out like, oh my gosh, how do I get from a $15,000 lot, you know, to $30,000 lot? Like, what are these increments going to look like? Because I'm not going to be able to support myself in a year, right? If this is all that's going to be happening for me. So, I kind of decided, I was like, you know what, I'm going to make this jump. I'm going to take a risk. And, after I sold all those properties under that previous broker, I ended up moving to another broker who was kind of very much the opposite. It was a much smaller broker, but they weren't as focused on training. They're like, you do you, come to us if you have questions. Right. Some people that works and some people it doesn't. And right. So when I was there, that's when I started to really like all of a sudden explode. And I don't know. I think it was kind of like a mind block or like a mental game for me. You know what I mean? Because when you have the script in front of you and they're like, you know, this is how you talk to them. This is how you say X, Y, Z. And by the way, we should practice and stuff like that. Like I was losing myself in that whole experience. And I think that's important for people to understand. Like never try to be molded into somebody that you're not or doesn't seem authentic to you. Just because it's like, it seems like it works for all the top producers. Right.
Right.
And right. So I think that's just important for everyone to understand, really.
Right. And I think, you know, with the scripting, I think it's, you know, it's good to kind of have some like guidelines type things, but to just really use those as some like guidelines to fall back on every once in a while. But you really need to put your own spin and personality, you know, on those. You can't just be that telemarketer with that script that you're reading off of.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how I felt I was coming across. I'm like, I don't think this sounds good. like I was critiquing myself. I was like, this is not, no bueno.
Right. So when you kind of got past that mental block and that hurdle, what was it, you know, what were you doing to really kind of let your personality out and show people who you really were?
Yeah. So, I got completely away from those scripts and I did just a lot of open houses. That's really how I was able to build, you know, my database up and things like that. And so that's where I started to see a lot of success in the follow-ups with those open house people. And then not only in the follow-ups, but then I started to get my systems in place and I started to realize, gosh, you know, there is so much more than just the scripting up front, right? And for a lot of agents, I'm sure like they are trying not to overwhelm new agents, like every broker, right? I don't think it's just one broker in particular. And they're like, just, you know, handle these scripts and then we'll get you to the next step. And for me, I operate on such I can see the big picture, but I definitely know how to also break it down. And I know that that's always been one of my strengths. And so for me, it was, I need to see where like these dots connect, right? So I have these people in open house. Do I just like send them individual emails or do I utilize the broker's newsletter or follow-up canned systems to stay in front of them? And again, for me, it was not, although it's a great thing to have those types of newsletters and follow-up emails in place that the broker offers, it was not CAT, right? And this was the other problem that I ran into. I was like, this does not sound like me. This is not my branding, because branding's such a thing. And what did I do when I was on the other side of the transaction? So kind of taking a few steps back, You know, when I've gone through this home buying process in the past, what kind of was a turnoff for me? And it was receiving an email every single day that I knew was canned. It was just a bunch of words. And it was like, hey, how are you doing? Any more thoughts on, you know, where we met on Saturday or whatever it was? You know what I did to those? I unsubscribed and I put it in the trash. And that is not what I wanted to do. So instead of doing the traditional follow-up approach, and again, this works for some people and kudos to them. But for me, if I'm going to have a branding, if I'm going to have a brand, it needs to be completely fluid across all processes and systems, right? They need to know every time they're getting something from me, it is like cat stamped. It is not my broker stamped and that's it. Right. And so I started investing up front, way up front, even after those $30,000 commission checks, you know, I started reinvesting in my business. I got myself a website, even though that was hard to swallow to like have somebody build that out for me, because again, the brokers offer that for you. Right. And then we had the newsletters, then we had the canned emails for the follow-ups. And so all of these things, I think, really helped people understand that I'm going to be with you, like holding your hand. I'm not going to just be like, okay, I'm going to send you these things and, you know, we'll talk when we talk type deal, right? It was more of a tailored approach. It makes the clients feel like you are taking the time to address them and address them only, right? You're not sending this to like 500 different people, even though you may be, but it just, it looks like you took the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, so that's kind of how I started when I switched brokers.
So. Right. So touching on that, you know, really kind of, getting away from those canned newsletters that are already kind of pre-produced for you. I think sometimes, especially with new agents, just the overwhelming of like having to actually create all that, it can be a little bit overwhelming, or even think like, gosh, I need to like follow up with all these people. Is how much time is in the day? How did you go about creating those processes to where they still felt authentic?
Yeah. So, well, I think the first thing is don't think so detailed where it can't be more of a mass approach, right? Mm-hmm. So as an example, at that time in my real estate career, I really started seeing a lot of my clients gravitating towards new construction. And so what did I start doing? I started researching the heck out of new construction. What does the process look like? Who are the builders? You know, I would send out even emails that would be like, hey, you know, these are about to hit the market, new inventory released, whatever it was. And I would guide them to these new communities. I would give them information of, okay, in these new communities, there's going to be tons of amenities, right? They're going to have a water park. They're going to have a dog park, a hiking trail. And so all this information, I was able to really keep it somewhat broad to, you know, to really appeal to quite a few different of my buyers. But at the same time, it got specific enough to pique the interest of those people that I knew were searching for that new construction community.
Right. So once you started really kind of diving into the new construction, how did that, you know, change your business really? Because I know that can be quite a change from, you know, working with, you know, other buyers out there.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Just even the sellers out there.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, on the buying side, you're right. It's completely different. And at some point, you actually hand over the baton to the salespeople, right? Because it's a builder's contract that comes in to play. But where I come in is not only helping my clients find the community, but I also, because I have this creative side, I actually helped a lot of my clients go to the design center and choose their finishes, put it all together. Because again, not everyone, you know, everyone has different skill set, right? And not everyone can see the bigger picture. They may pick out like a material that's, I don't know, a gold fixture, right, in the kitchen. And then they pick out like, I don't know, a silver fixture in the next room over. It like, you know, they don't see that big picture of the flow of the house that has to go together. And so I found that a lot of my clients were actually asking me to accompany them throughout this process. And so that's what I had done. So it's almost like, you know, it was a very different approach. And I know a lot of realtors would say, don't waste your time on that. Like, you are in the business to, you know, just sell the house, get the contract and move on. And I totally get that. But that's not me. Right. Of course, I want business. But I also feel like the more that I help my clients through the transaction process, whether it's from the design center to, you know, the next step in the phase, you know, I feel like they appreciate that. And because of that, I have gotten a lot of referrals as a result of those new construction builds.
Right. So, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, you know, it's kind of like you've become, you know, like that lifestyle agent also, you know, like you're helping people kind of build the, you know, build the life from the ground up that they're looking for. And when they do see, you know, those different design touches that you helped put in their house, maybe even a year or two later, or maybe they're having a house party and their friends are asking about it, you know, your name's going to come up. And it just, I can definitely see how that leads to a lot of referral business for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been fun. And, you know, the other thing is, because sometimes you'll get pushback, to be honest, you'll get pushback on new construction. They're like, if they have a salesperson, why do I have to hire an agent? Right. And I would hear that. And my whole point is the salespeople work for the builder. So that's where their interest lies. Right. And I said, you can ask for incentives, you can ask for X, Y, and Z, but what happens? And this became very important the past 2 years. What happens when there's an issue with the builder? Right. So the past 2 years here in Austin, we saw builders like trying to throw up houses like lickety split. They were hiring trades from all over. And they weren't always qualified trades, right? Because there's like holes in the wall and they're trying to put the cabinets over the holes without patching them. I mean, like, we saw nothing but chaos. And to be frank, there are still some builders that haven't figured out the process, but we had supply chain issues. We had build times that were like 2 years. I'm like, what is going on here? But that's when a realtor can step in proactively and be sending those emails like, hey, guys, you know, I'm a realtor in the area. This isn't making you look so hot, right? Let's pay some attention to my clients' homes. And so even just yesterday, ironically, I've been kind of handholding some of my clients that unfortunately we had to move towards legal, you know, we had a legal, how do I want to say that? Like arbitration and stuff like that. Right. So with some of these builders, and they even told me, they're like, Kat, if you didn't have an attorney already readily available for your business in the building industry, we would have lost out and probably lost the home, because you have to be ready to act quick if something's going to happen. So,
yeah, you know. I think having that advocate, is definitely, because honestly, like, so where we are, my wife and I moved to Florida, left our jobs in South Carolina, and we needed to find somewhere quick. And we found this place that was being built, but we went through the sales rep and it was terrible. It was an awful process. It was the same. We had a ceiling joist coming through the ceiling and they painted over. I'm like, what is going on? Like, this is not happening.
Were you guys able to get an inspection? I don't know the laws in Florida.
Yeah, I caught the ceiling joist early on, you know, before, okay, and got that taken care of. But even like the inspection, you know, just little things like paint touch-ups. We, after we moved in, we realized, oh, you guys never, you, we still saw the tape that we put in the closets to be, so it, having that advocate really would have been, you know, helpful in that whole process.
Yeah. And I'm not saying they always listen to us, but it certainly does help, especially when you're like, guys, like, we do business, realtors talk, like, what are you doing here? This doesn't look so great. Yeah. So it's unfortunate we have to go to those measures too. Right. But, I think it's like similar to real estate agents, right? If you don't treat your clients the way that you would want to be treated, then eventually it's not going to look good for you, I think, at the end of the day.
Right. Absolutely. So talking about these last couple of years, you know, what has that really been like, you know, in the Austin market? I understand, you know, we know here, even in our neighborhood, it was just being built out. The times on the houses was getting all crazy. But just overall, in general, what was it like, you know, being a fairly new agent in such a crazy time and not having, you know, past markets or anything to kind of fall back on?
Right. Well, so the beauty of that was that nobody, even the most tenured agents, nobody knew how to navigate the markets that we have seen. And so it became an even playing field all of a sudden, right? And so I have a mentor. She's been in this industry for like 42 years, and I love her to death. I met her at my first brokerage, and she has been like, I talk to her quite frequently. And so she was even telling me, she was like, Kat, like, I don't even know where to go in all of this, because we are dealing with so many different things between the supply chain issues. And then we had COVID, right? COVID, that was something new. And then, you know, people wanted to move here like crazy. And I know Florida was another hot spot. And we had all these people coming in and relocating, multiple bidding wars. And some of these numbers was like 100, 150, 200K over ask. And by the way, the asking price was already pretty aggressive, right? But people were cashing out. We had a lot of people coming from California, but of course, everywhere else as well. And they had that extra cash, I guess, to just pay that and walk away. But, you know, what was interesting is that it really, if you weren't on top of your game and you weren't like actively out there as all of these changes were hitting our market, I don't think you probably did as well as you could have, right? Because you were probably losing out on deals that you shouldn't have. So I remember right when the market was starting to shift and like we were starting to see things get a little bit more aggressive in terms of, you know, pricing and stuff like that. I remember talking to one of my clients and I'm like, you are going to think I'm insane when I tell you this. Because we were dealing with, I mean, it was, you know, I think it was like a $1.5 million house, and it was in Austin, like the heart of Austin. So it was a very popular area. And I was like, you're going to think I'm crazy when I tell you this, but if you want to win out on this, I already spoke to the agent, and I know that, you know, if we give them a really strong offer up front, no negotiating, they will like seal the deal. And by the way, we had to wait to get into that house, and it was the first day the house hit the market. And we sat outside because I was like, this house just came on the market. I couldn't get us an appointment, but we are going to run in there because it was vacant. We're going to run in there and we're going to do a quick 15-minute tour. And if you like it, you need to tell me immediately because this is going to be a hot home. And sure enough, that day we went under contract. But what the point is, when I was telling my clients, you're going to think I'm crazy, waiving inspections, the inspection period, offering, I think on that one, it was just the beginning of everything. We offered maybe 30 grand over, and having my clients understand like, hey, if this house doesn't appraise, guess what? That's like 30 additional grand out of your pocket, right? The lender's not going to cover it. So, yeah, it certainly presented a lot of interesting challenges and definitely sparked a lot of creativity, I think, for agents as a whole. I mean, ethical creativity, I should say, but
Right. So tell me, you know, obviously things have gone much better from that first year on, you know, kind of where, what is your business? What was it like last year? You know, how, you know, what's that arc kind of been like?
Yeah. So it's definitely the past couple of years, I have just been ultra focused on reinvesting in my business. So pretty much every commission check, a good chunk of it is going right back into my business. And the reason I'm doing that, you know, some people may disagree and that's okay. But for me, there was these other platforms I wanted to invest in, right? So as an example, technology is not cheap, right? We already talked about the website. The website was not cheap for me, especially as a new agent. You know, but as I go along, the more systems I got in place, the more I started to see people are like viewing me more as a business, not necessarily a 1099, right? And so if you know, I'm sure you've heard this, right? A lot of people, buyers will tell me when I meet them for the first time, they're like, I don't think I'm going to work with an agent. And I'm like, I'm guessing you had a bad experience or you felt like you did most of the work, right? And they're like, yeah, my agent didn't do anything. Or the other thing I hear is, my agent's going to give me a rebate on commission. Will you cut your commission? Right. So those are the two things the two rebuttals I hear quite often. And my explanation to them is, you know, why don't we just like work with each other? Let's see how each other works. I mean, it may not work out. You may not like my personality. I am interviewing you just as much as you are interviewing me. Right. But really providing them with so much information that I know they are not getting into the details on themselves, I think has really allowed me to kind of position myself as more of, hey, she knows what she's talking about. She's running a business here. She's not doing this as like a hobby. You know what I mean? So some of it I would say is definitely like a perception. As you put these systems in place, your branding in place, it becomes a perception that, okay, they are willing to take the time to brand themselves. They are willing to take the time to kind of add some personal touches and tailor things to me, but also giving me information that I'd have to go in 20 different spots as a buyer to figure out, you know, where I can get some of this and these important details, right? And so overwhelming them with, I think, important information is certainly one of those things that has certainly helped along my journey.
Right. Right. Well, I really do appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. I mean, I think, you know, we were talking about before coming on, just wanting to provide those little nuggets for new agents. And I think throughout this whole conversation, you know, some of the main points are, you know, really treating your business, you know, treating your real estate career as a legitimate business from the get-go, you know, and really focusing on that brand.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I really want to thank Kat for joining us today. The conversation was full of great information, and what I love most about her story is that there is really no one set way to find success in the industry. What works for one agent may not work for another, and it's up to you to find out what makes your business pop. So once again, if you think you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or a tip to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. Well, that wraps things up for this episode, but remember, follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents YouTube channel. Again, I'm Michael Walter, and we'll see you on the next episode.